Well, about a month ago, I asked if there was anybody had any topics they might want me to preach on. I'm going to do one of those tonight, and that one is somebody mentioned it because somebody made a list for me, and it is the Bible still relevant today? So I want to give you the quick answer, yes, the Bible is relevant. Let me just tell you this, any other book that you read, they always do revised versions. They always do updated versions, but with God's word is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. But I want to share some things about what the word is. The word is what we have, the Bible, as God's word, okay? Written over many, many years, the prophetic pieces that were written 3,000 years, 4,000 years ago. They came to be, the ones that we just see that they came to be. This Christ did come and did all those things. But I want to talk about the word specifically, what we call the Bible. It is still relevant today. Scripture talks about the power of the word. You see, right now we have a lot of voices speaking into our life, telling us how to do this, how to do that, how to make this decision, giving you thoughts. So you don't feel bad about a decision that you made. People, society, and the world today are trying to make a world, this utopia that will never exist here. Trying to make a utopia of a perfect world. Listen, we are imperfect people. We're not going to have no perfect world. I can tell you that right now. Trying to make a perfect world is imperfect in itself. It will implode in itself. But what the world is trying to do is say there is no wrongs, really. Who cares about rights? But there is no wrongs. And if there is no wrongs, then I don't have to feel bad about choices that I made and decisions that I make. But God's word tells us there is wrongs and there is rights. There's a lot of scripture on the Word of God. I want to tell you that right now, and I'm only going to pick five tonight. Okay? I'm only going to pick five tonight. But there's a lot, and I want to tell you it's relevant. John 1:1 is right on the nose, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. It's all wrapped up in the one. God's Word is God. It's all part of God. Okay? Sometimes that seems very, very complicated, but it is God's Word is God's Word. That's what it is. God's word is God's word. Okay? If God can create the earth, and he did, and the universe and the stars, and the Bible says he gave them all names, and everything runs as it should, we have these seasons and all the celestial stars and the moon and the sun, and everything orbits the way that it does. Do you not think that God can move through man to write his word? Of course. You know, there were some of the books we're not going to talk. There were some books like Job and Esther that they didn't want them to be part of God's word. But God made it right. Some people want the book of Enoch to be in there, but if you look at it, it does not match those parts. It does not match the rest of God's word. We have the word of God. We don't add to it, and we don't take away from it. Because it's God's word. And when God speaks, power comes out. That's how he created. By his voice. He never wanned, but by his voice. Okay? So we know this. In the beginning was the word. Okay? Number two. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 4, we see Satan trying to tempt Jesus, get him to sin, get him to do something that he shouldn't do. But Jesus answered, he's pretty hungry right now. Satan wants him to turn these stones into bread. Jesus says, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. We should be eating daily God's word. We should be reading God's word daily. Listen, if your life is a wreck, I guarantee you, you're not reading God's word. I'm just going to tell you. You're not reading God's word because God's word is powerful. Talk about that in the next one, but I'm just telling you, we are to eat God's word. We are to eat, consume it. But I guarantee you, probably 80% of this group right here is not reading God's word on a daily basis. And we should be. Yeah. I'm not jumping on you because you miss a day. But think about it. When you miss a day of eating, what happens? You get hungry. Just your body is craving food. The spirit craves, inside of you, craves you to get into the word of God. To eat. To take it in that it might fill you. Here's what I hear. Ah, Bible's boring. Oh, I can't read the Bible, but I can read other books. I just don't understand all those names. We can come up with all kinds of excuses. But I'll tell you this. If you just pick up the Word of God and start reading, you will get something out of it. And if you pick up the same old book, you say, I've read Jonah 50,000 times. Listen, you read it, you'll get something new out of it again. And you read the Gospels, you'll get something out of it again. And I can almost tell you this. As you grow as a Christian, your favorite book will change as you change. Doesn't make the other ones less. It's just you're evolving, you're changing, you're growing in your walk in the Lord. I remember my favorite book was Ephesians. Why? Because I love the armor of God. And it adjusted and went to Philippians. Oh my gosh, amazing. And then it adjusted and went to Luke. Why? Because God spoke to me through those scriptures at times, and that becomes my favorite one, and then it changes and it changes and it changes. And it's okay. All God's word is good. It's all good. I will tell you this, don't just pick the easy things, keep reading the easy things, but dig a little deep from time to time. Don't be afraid of Revelation. Don't be afraid of Deuteronomy. Listen to me, don't be afraid of the book of Ezekiel. Okay? It can get kind of tougher. All right? So, we are to take God's word in as like food. Number three, for the word of God is alive and active. Here we go. Sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Basically, this verse is putting God's word as active and alive and powerful and immovable. God's word speaks truth. You'll never find a lie in God's word. I'm going to tell you, you'll never find a lie in God's word. If there's a lie, it's in your mouth. It's in your thoughts. It's in my thoughts. It's in my mouth. But you'll never find a lie in God's word. Now, why do we want to shy away from God's word if it's the truth? Number two, the Holy Spirit uses it to convict us. That's why we shy away at times. It convicts us, telling us what we are about to do or what we've done is not right before God. It's a sin before God. It does these things. And it convicts. Because it's truth. It is truth. The Word of God opens up a right way to live. A right way to make a choice. It opens up a narrow path. It can get you, the Word of God gets you to a place where you can make a decision where you couldn't make one a day ago. That's where you're seeking wisdom from God's Word. And sometimes you'll read it and you'll skim over it for hours or for a few days trying to find an answer. And then the Holy Spirit clicks it and you get it. But sometimes because we've not been reading, He allows us to read more and more and more and more because we need to continue to read it. God's word always points to the truth. Always points to the truth. Satan is always pointing you to a dream that's not true. A false image. It looks true, but it's not. It's not true. This is God's words. When God speaks, we all listen. And God says a lot. We'll talk about that shortly. And number four, every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in Him. That's Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. Every word. Is the Bible violent? The Bible is very violent because people are violent. The Bible talks about sin and very ugly things. It's very sexual at times. Because people are sexual. And people turn the sexual gift that God gave to mankind and turn it into an abomination. But it is flawless. God doesn't need another verse in it. It is flawless. It is perfect. There's nothing like God's word. And we are without excuse. We are without excuse. Every one of us that are believers should know at least one verse by memory by now. Some of you may know two. Some of you may know three. But as we grow, those scriptures by memory will grow. And then people say, well, I can't memorize. You memorize the music songs that you like on the radio. You should be able to memorize the verses. Number five, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says in James 1:22. Do not merely listen to the word, as many people do, but it says, and don't deceive yourselves, do what it says. So we deceive ourselves when we hear it and we don't obey it. Because guess, when we do that, what we're saying is, I think I know better than God. That's a very dangerous place to be. I think I know better than God on this decision, so I'm going to leave him out. Now, we don't say that. How we say it is we just ignore it. We've heard the truth, and we just ignore it. We ignore it. I want to share something. I want to do a rundown. It's going to take me a few minutes, but I want you to understand the power of God's word, okay? I want you to understand the power of God's word. Now, some of you that are biblical, you're going to know I'm going to miss a few books, but it's okay. We're going to kind of cover what I can cover. The book of Genesis tells us something that is amazing. It tells us creation is created by God, not by a Big Bang theory. It tells us that the first couple couldn't get it together because basically what they did was they listened to the deceiver. That is Satan who spoke. And they failed. They sinned before God, but God loved them and had to boot them out of the garden. And they had a family. And the family couldn't get it together because Cain killed Abel. It didn't take long for man to become very wicked. It didn't take long for man to become very wicked at all. We look at the book of Exodus and God's people were being pulled out of Exodus. God was leading through Moses and all the miracles that were done and all the plagues that were done on the Egyptians, but not on their land, on their people. They begin to go out and they take it out and they left slavery, but they kept the slavery mentality in their mind. They didn't trust God. They trusted in things that they saw. No generation in God's word, no generation through mankind has ever existed has saw as many miracles as them, but they had a heart of stone. So don't ever say, oh, if God could just show himself to me, I would believe. No, God's word says there have been people, so many people that saw things and still said, I want to go back to slavery. People today do the same thing. They go to church, they're living a life of sin, they're trying church, or and then what happens? They go and they leave. Because they think they have a better way. Leviticus is a book of the laws. Really started telling people what wrong and right was. Nobody likes to read the book of Leviticus, but it tells you that a man don't have sex with his aunt and a son don't have sex with his mother. And this is pretty detailed stuff. You don't mess with witches. You don't get involved with these things. You don't drink blood, all that stuff. And God put it in there because people were doing it. People were doing it, and it's in God's word, and people don't know, but it is in God's word. Numbers tells us a great story about going into the promised land, but before that, it ends up being this part here. They go in the promised land, but they don't want to go. But it's even before that. Basically, it's rebellion from family members upon Moses as the leader, rebellion from Aaron and Miriam, his brother and his sister, rebellion. Right up to the door of the promised land. And then rebellion from the people. Numbers is a lot about rebellion. But it's also about men putting their hearts before God, asking God not to destroy people. Deuteronomy, another one of those books of the law. But with some promises. If you live the way God wants you to live. The promise is there. Joshua. About being strong and courageous. Don't look at how big the enemy. Look how big God is. Man prayed things that nobody ever prayed. The Lord, let the sun stand still. And the Bible says God listened to a man and stopped the sun. And there are scientists today that can go back and look and say, there was a moment that the sun stood still. I don't know how they do that. They're not believers, but they said there was something there, that something was wrong in space. Ruth, I'll just say it like this. Once she joined that family, it was family to the end. She stuck with that family through thick, thin. And God blessed her. Y'all might read a little bit about her in the genealogy coming up. 1 Samuel, see a leader's mistake that cost him his life. We'll see that. You see that in the Chronicles where it talks about there were two things that caused Saul to die. One of those was that he disobeyed the word of the Lord. And the second part was he sought after a witch. A man of God sought after a witch. In chapter 28, we see that man. We see how God making, you don't go after astrology. You don't go after witch thing. You don't go into that, the Aries and all that kind of stuff. You don't get all caught up in that. God says that is like the spirit of rebellion. And it cost Saul's life because he knew better. And we see that through 2 Samuel. We see David and Bathsheba, even the greatest men can fall through lust. And we see through the scriptures how it turns a man inside out, a woman inside out when he sins. He just is not himself as a believer. And the conviction is heavy. And we see how a man deals with that with a man who is a repentant, his heart. 1st, 2nd Kings, 1st, 2nd Chronicles, what we do is see the lives of several kings. And we see their decisions. Most of them were just horrible. And there were some that were good. And even with those that were good, there were some things they didn't do right. But God stuck with them. And God worked through them. We see Ezra, the rebuilding of the temple. We see Nehemiah, a man's heart was broken, and the rebuilding of the wall. Basically, you can do things that are bigger than yourself if God calls you to it, okay? You can do things bigger than yourself. We see Esther, such a time as this. Making a decision that could cost her life. Doing something illegal to walk before the king, knowing it was illegal, and the sentence could be death, but she trusted in the Lord, prayed, fasted. She did it, and God gave her grace and mercy. We see the book of Job. Outside of Jesus, I don't think anybody took a beat down like this man did. I know Paul did. But it was just something about, listen, a man can say, beat me down, but listen, when you lose all your kids in one moment, you can do anything to that man, but if you take his kids, you ripped his heart out. You ripped her heart out. And his wife said, won't you just curse God and die? And he said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is in the Word of God. That is people who have been through. They didn't. We think that people in the Bible had these great lives. They had horrible things happen to them, so many of them. Some of them were caused by their own decisions. Others were caused because just life happens. And other times it was because the enemy attacked them. But Job came out victorious. Blessed more than he was, seven times more than he was before. Psalms, what we see is the book of Psalms is a book of brokenness, a book of hope, a book of songs. And it says, everything, creation, praise the Lord. Amen? That's in God's Word. We see Proverbs is about wisdom. It's not a book you just blow off. It's a book you go in there and you go, wow, I thought I was smart, but I just figured out now I'm just not that smart. And this stuff, some of this stuff is just real common sense stuff. Book of Proverbs, it's pretty good. Ecclesiastes. Folks, there's a time for everything. And God talks about it. There's a time to be happy and a time to be sorrowful. Time for babies to be born. Time for people to die. Time for war. Time for peace. Time for famine. Time prosperity. There's a time for everything. But he also concludes and says, beginning of wisdom. Fear is the beginning. Wisdom, knowledge. Song of Solomon, the power of love of a couple. Isaiah, praying for the coming of the, There's the prophecy of the coming of Christ. Jeremiah, we see that God is the potter, and we're just the clay. Mold me and make me, Lord. Sometimes it don't look so good, and you know what? He'll start over. He'll start over until you get it. For some folks, unfortunately, it's a lifetime. He's the potter, and we're the clay. Lamentations. God's mercies are new every morning. It's a tough little book to read, but that is the hope of Lamentations. God's mercies are new every day. Ezekiel is the watchman on the wall, even though you might be dry bones in the valley. But we have a watchman on the wall. Daniel is all about testing the faith, not bowing down to any but to God Himself. Serve no other God. You'll see Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, the minor prophets there with Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, and Haggai, and Zechariah. You'll see all of them wrapped up in there about the future's happening and doom and gloom, but yet God has a remnant. Praise God for the remnant. And in that midst, we see Jonah, which is a lesson. I always tell new pastors, I want you to preach from there. Don't run from God. You know why I told you guys to preach from that, right? So you were the one that needed it more than anybody. Don't run from God when He calls you. Amen? Don't run from God. And then we have Malachi. Don't rob God. And a warning to preachers who think they got it all together. But don't rob God. Matthew, I read it, it's about the gift of salvation. The coming of Christ has actually happened. The prophecy is fulfilled. He is here. Mark is the miracles of Christ. We see the miracles of Christ. And Luke, we see the parables and all of those things. And we see a look into what Hades looks like. And in John, what we do is we see Jesus loves, God loves everyone, and through Christ all can be saved. Amen? And the love of the prostitute, the love of the woman at the well, the love of the adulterous woman, the love of broken people in the book of John. Love. Romans, how to be a Christian and how to live the Christian life. 1 and 2 Corinthians, how to be a church and how to live church right. The things not to do, the things to do. Galatians is there's only one gospel. No other gospel but Jesus Christ is the gospel. Ephesians is the armor of God, and it's by grace you've been saved, not by works. Ephesians and the Philippians tells us that all our needs are met, that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, right? And He supplies all your needs. Colossians is this, Jesus is supreme. There is no other, okay? Jesus is it. There is no other. 1-2 Thessalonians talks about, listen, Christ is going to return. Christ is going to return. 1 and 2 Timothy is an encouragement to a pastor. For God did not give us the spirit of fear or timidity, but the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Stir up that fire. Stir up that fire, that gift that God gave to you in your calling. Titus. Titus is about leadership. There needs to be leadership in the church, and it needs to be men and women that will work, that have a strong Christian ethic in their own homes. Philemon is asked about boldness. To me, it's about boldness. Hebrews is fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. James is this, how to live life. How to live your common life out every day. And bad things will happen, temptations will happen, and how can you get through those moments? 1 Peter, 2 Peter, there's some pretty tough stuff in there, but it's like this. Live holy. Be holy. Why? Because He is holy. Amen? And then 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. 1, 2 John is confess your sins. Confess your sins in 1 John. And 2 and 3 John is about loving people and dealing with people and wolves in sheep's clothing. Jude, keep fighting. Don't let the fight get out of hand. Keep fighting. Revelations, God still has it all together. It's about end times. It's about you and me. It's about every single human being that has ever lived on the face of the earth and what they did with the name of Jesus Christ. Either in the Lamb's Book of Life or it's not. And if you are a believer in Christ and you ask Christ, you are actually mentioned in Revelations in the Lamb's Book of Life. Your future of eternity is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's written in Revelation. God's Word is relevant today, just as it was when the words were written. If you would understand the power of God's Word on how it can help you through all your problems, listen, God's not going to take all your problems away because you asked Him. He's not going to do that just like that. If we've been in a mess for 5 or 10 years, listen, He's going to process you through some things. There's some things that He's going to want to change. You've heard me say this before. I use it a lot at the Women's Life House. I don't teach, you ladies are blessed, I don't teach you like I used to. But I always would say this, and Carl uses it, listen, the Life House is like a cocoon. We come in from the bottom, and we get in this cocoon. If you stay long enough, my voice is cracking like I'm 12. If you stay long enough, you allow God to do a work on you, there'll be a change in you. There'll be a change in you, and you'll want to bust out and get out of there because it's uncomfortable. And it's a lot of pushing and shoving and adjustments. But if you do it the way God wants you to, there are times when it will crack. And when you come out, you will not be the same. You will not be down here anymore. You will fly out. But that only doesn't go just to the Life House. That goes here as well. I promise you I'm not 12, okay? This is aggravating. I was in that cocoon at one time myself. I didn't like it. Took a few years to get me back on track with the Lord. But I will tell you this. When it says, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, it penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow, it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. This scripture was applied to my life every day. I felt the conviction of the Lord every day, working in me, doing and plowing, doing the hard work, molding me, and then tearing parts down, remolding me because I was stubborn and I was pushing against God's word. Here it was, when I finally surrendered and allowed Christ to do it all what He wanted to do, that is the only reason I'm standing here today. You see, I could have chose to be a Christian and live a rebellious life. I would have been blessed less, a lot less. I would have been out, I believe I would have been out out of the protection hand of God. But when you allow God, when you let God reel you in, He reels you in with His arms. And no one can protect you like God. I believe I've had the protection of God all over me since that moment. I said, just take it over. And I let go. I've been blessed more than any other time. But it just didn't happen overnight. I had to get into His Word. I had to get upset sometimes and just say, God, where are you at? And I've done that. Where are you at? You show me where you're at. You know what I'm doing? I may have been angry, but I'm going to Him as my source. I didn't go to the bar. I didn't go across town. I didn't get angry in another way and do something stupid. I went to the Word. I was angry about some things. I'm like, where are you? And you know what He did? I got in there and He showed me. He told me I never left Him. He said, quit worrying. And then I began to understand, wow, I'm not just being a listener anymore. I'm starting to be a doer. And you become a doer of the Word, you start getting experiences and you start getting testimonies, and then you start experiencing the power of the Word, and you start to understand the power of the Holy Spirit, and your life begins to change. Was it that God just came in and clapped his hand and said, just bless Jimmy in everything that he does? No. I would have screwed that up and messed that up in a heartbeat. I wasn't ready. I want you to know that God is, this book is filled with a bunch of men and women who needed a second chance. There were some of them that needed a third chance and a fourth chance. And some of them said, well, how many times we got to forgive? 70 times 7? What? Some people need even more than that. When you start to understand, I just feel like myself, I'm just grasping the outer edges of God's Word. That's all. Sometimes it gets so powerful, I've got to set it down. I'm just being honest. I've got to set it down. I said, Lord, that's a lot. That's kind of scary. That's a lot. Because His Word is not weak. It's powerful. I'll close with this. My first week in basic training was not very good to me. My military experience, basic training was horrid. I didn't hear words like that all the time. I was never called names. I was like, what planet am I on? I am not those things they screamed and yelled at me at and threw my bags across the halls and I couldn't find everything. Got in trouble all week long. Here's what I did. I found that there was, when we were all this lining up and yelling, and there was a guy that was passing out these little Bibles, these little Gideon Bibles. I took one. You can have a Bible, you can do whatever. So I put it in there. I never had time to get it out and read it, really. I ripped a page off, taped it to my locker. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. I memorized that thing. It was my strength for the next 4 months. I begin to understand that there's power in God's Word. My life was not coming to an end, but 20-year-old that never really shot weapons, now I'm shooting grenade launchers. Listen, that's pretty dangerous for a 20-year-old to grab a grenade launcher, start blowing up Jeeps. I'm not talking about shooting a little handgun. I'm talking about shooting automatic rifles and M60s and running through fog and running through razor wire and all that. It's pretty dangerous. Somebody would always get hurt. Somebody would get killed. I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It's pretty important to me. I think it at first may have been important to you. Or another verse. I want to challenge you tonight as I close out this part of the message that one, God's Word is still relevant. Still relevant. Find your place in it. Ask God to speak to you through it. God has not got a zipper on His mouth. He loves to talk. We need to learn to listen. We're going to have a time of response. Folks, I could have spent 3 hours just on these 66 books on all the stories of everything. A lot of you know, some of you don't. But just in what I said, what I know in all these books is God's doing life with people where they are. Because we sure couldn't be where He was. So let's go ahead and stand. Just